Welcome back once again to Truth from the Heart with Travis Sullivan. And I'm continuing episode number 9, The Two Eyes, Idols and Integrity. And I hope to wrap up this episode today. So thank you once again for tuning in. It's going to be another great and hopefully informative episode. Before I get started today, I just want to remind you that you can tune into the podcast on various platforms: Amazon Music, Google Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And you can also email the podcast, truthfromtheheartpodcast@gmail.com. I want to get right into it today. And as I have said on the previous parts of this episode, I talked about idols and idolatry and how that is not something that we want in our lives. And I gave you several examples of idols. And I just encourage you to turn to God, ask Him to help you recognize the idols in your life and ask Him to help you remove those in your life or remove those idols from your life so that you can put Him back as the priority in your life. And then I also talked about how God just put it on my heart to share and talk about integrity and how we are called as Christians to be men and women of integrity. And I think that is something that's very important. And the Bible actually talks a lot about it. And on the last part of the episode, I was giving you verses that talk about integrity, doing the right thing, standing up for the right thing when it may not be popular to do. I did a previous episode, as I mentioned, where I talked about standing for the truth no matter the cost. And it kind of goes along with integrity. And I think integrity is one of the characteristics that is not very prevalent in our world today. And it needs to be, because I know there are a lot of Christians out there. And again, we are called to be men and women of integrity. So we talked and looked at what the Old Testament said about integrity. Now let's look at some New Testament verses. And I'm going to try and go slow and give these all to you. So I hope you will just write these down, or if you've got your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to those and we'll look at them together. So again, we're talking about integrity and what it means to live a life of integrity. And I'm going to start off with this verse, and it's essentially, as you've heard it said before, the golden rule. And here's what it says. It's Luke 6:31. And I read from the ESV version, and here's what Luke 6:31 says: "And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them." And this goes right along, I think, with integrity of doing what we have been called to do, doing what we know is right. And I think if many of us would just stop and read that verse, think about that verse: do to others as you would have them do to you. Now, they may not be Christian, and I realize that non-Christians may not understand or get a full grasp of the idea of integrity. But nevertheless, we are to treat others the way that we want to be treated. That is what part of the Christian walk is. So I love that verse. That was Luke 6:31. And another verse that talks about integrity, and this one asks a question, and that question is, what is honorable? 2 Corinthians 8:21. "For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man." Now, I don't have a problem with this verse, but I think the first part is the most important. We need to aim for what is honorable in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. Now, God, of course, is the ultimate authority. Man is not. But we need to do what we know is honorable. And I think people will recognize that. I think you would be surprised if you stand for what is right in those tough situations. Yeah, you may be ridiculed. Yeah, you may be persecuted, so to speak. But I guarantee you there will be people that will stand up and they will notice. And it could open the door to so many different things. So that is my encouragement, is let's put on this hat or this suit of integrity. Let's be honorable men and women in the Lord's sight and do what we know we are supposed to do and what the Bible has called us to do. Now, this next verse does mention integrity. It lists a whole bunch of other things as well. And it gives us something to think about. And I teach a Bible study with my mom on Sundays, and this is one of the verses that the children have to learn, but it's one we need to stop, think about it, and apply these things to our lives. And here it is. It's Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, If there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. We are to think about having all of that in our lives. Truth, being honorable, just, being pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. Those are good things for us to have and to think about. There are so many decisions in our lives that if we just stopped and thought about them and said, what is the right thing to do in this situation? Think how different of outcomes that we could have. I think many of us would have much better outcomes than what we have already had or what we think we could have. Moving on to the book of Hebrews now, and the author of Hebrews writes this in Hebrews 13:18, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. That should be our prayer. Lord, help me have a clear conscience. Help me do what I know is right. It is not easy because this world will throw things at us. This world will tell us, it's okay, you can do it this way. You know, do what you want to do. Do what you think is best for you. We have to do what we think God is willing for us in our lives. And if we pray about it and ask Him, God, guide me down that path, He will guide us down that path. It goes along with this idea of integrity. I want to be a man or a woman of integrity. I want to stand on the truth of God's word, and I want to do the right thing in my life. And then finally, another verse in the New Testament that talks about integrity is 1 Peter 3:16 and 17. Having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. And this is a verse that I think a lot of us have a problem with, because we don't want to suffer. I have a client that I record a program that he has for the company that I work for, and he says there are so many people that think that when you become a Christian, you're part of the happy, holy, healthy, wealthy club. That's not true. That's not true. We have our struggles. We have our trials, just like everyone else. But here's the difference. We know who to turn to when things get bad. Others just keep falling down in the pit of despair, but we don't have to do that. We can turn to the throne of grace and say, okay, God, come into this situation, or I know you're going to get me through this. And whenever God puts us through a trial, it's a test in our lives. And I heard a pastor say this, and he's like, this is not going to be a popular thing to say, but it's the truth. And that is, you actually want to have trials in your life, because that means that God is testing us and we're always going to come out stronger on the other end. But we don't want the trials at the time that we're going through them. So I love what this verse says. We need to have a good conscience, even when we're slandered, even when those people may be saying things about us. You're a goody two-shoes, or you're just too good, or you're too nice, or whatever the case may be, because they're going to be put to shame. It is better to suffer for doing good, if that is God's will, but that is something that I have tried to apply in my life as well. I want to do good. I want to do what the right thing is, regardless of what the outcome may be. Because if that's what God has willed for me to do, then I know it's going to turn out in the end. I think we just latch on to so many different things. We cannot see the big picture. God can see the big picture. We may look at it and say, well, that doesn't seem like a good idea. Or, you know, I don't know that we should do it this way because it's easier this way. See, we want the easy way out. We want to do it. That may not be the good way or the way that God has willed for us, but we want to do it the easy way. And the Christian walk, and I've been walking with Christ now for the last 27 years, and I can tell you, it is not an easy journey, especially with the more and more evil we are seeing in this world today. It is not easy being a Christian in the world today. That is what I have got to tell you and to share with you about integrity. Again, I mentioned two articles that I talked about, I think on the last part of the episode, that talk about integrity, and I'm going to post the link to those articles in the description of this episode. So I hope you will take time and you will read those as well and just be encouraged to, one, recognize the idols in your life, and then two, pray that God would help make you a man or a woman of integrity, because that is a journey that you definitely want to go on. And I'm going to wrap this up with talking about what happens when we put God first in our lives. And this is kind of going back a little bit to idolatry, how we need to put off the things that are the idols in our lives and make God first. Because when we do, so many great things happen. So here is where I'm going. I'm going to go to the book of Matthew for the next several set of verses. So if you want to go ahead and turn to Matthew, it's the first book in the New Testament. And I'm going to start in Matthew 6:33. And this is one that, again, we've got to just stop, get away from all the craziness, open God's Word, read it, and then apply it to our lives. And if we would just do that, oh my goodness, like I said, so many great things would happen. And this is one of those verses because we read it, but I think so many of us don't apply it to our lives. Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We need to seek first the kingdom of God in our lives. And you may say, well, it's a lot of work that all the decisions that I have to make throughout a day. I don't know how many decisions you make in a day. I think we make a lot more than we would actually think about. But stop and think about the decisions that you make and say, what would God want me to do? Because if you're a Christian, I believe that we have the Holy Spirit in us and we will be led down the right way if we seek and we sit here and say, what am I supposed to do? I guarantee you, if you pray and you say, God, guide me down the right direction, he will do that. He never turns away his children. He will never lead us down the wrong path. But see, Satan is there waiting for us. I've seen illustrations where people have like an angel and then supposedly the devil on one shoulder and they're essentially talking back and forth. I think Satan likes to play mind games with us. He likes us to think, remember, this is the easy way. So you can do this. And it's easy. It's done. You don't have to worry about it anymore. But then God's sitting there, not saying, but then if we would seek God, he may say, I want you to go down this way. And you may say, well, that's the way that's a lot harder. But we know that God's going to be with us and he'll get us through it. Because see, everything that happens in our lives and everything that he does, it's all for his glory. So you may say, well, I'm going to have to go through this trial. But in the end of it, God's going to get all the glory. That's exactly what happened with Job. Satan came to God and said, let me tempt him because I want him to curse you, because he knows that that would hurt God. But God knew that Job would never do that. And if you have never read the book of Job, I encourage you to read it. Maybe not if you're a new Christian, because you may say, well, if this is what the Christian's life is like, I don't want to do it because there's a lot of suffering that Job went through. But in the end, he came out on top. God gave him back double what he had, and it was for all God's glory. And in the end, Job never cursed God. He said, you are my God, and you will be forever. And so God be glorified. And that's something that's hard for us to remember as we are going through the trials in our lives. We're just thinking about how bad it is, or we don't understand why this is happening to us. But then we have to stop and think, well, you know what? This could be a test from God. And any test from God will end up very well for us. Some more verses that talk about putting God first in our lives, Matthew 10:38-39. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I found a commentary on this, just about a sentence, but I think it sums up that verse pretty well. These verses make it clear that anyone who seeks true greatness will have to lay aside making a priority of seeking comfort in and from this world, and instead seek obedience to Jesus and his ways. Jesus bid his disciples to follow after him and die, as he would himself die by taking up his cross. We're to put off our old self and put on our new selves and follow Christ, because God does not hold our past against us. We, I think, sometimes hold our past against us and say, I've done this in the past, or we look at somebody else and say, well, they've done that in the past, and we hold the past against them, but God does not do that, and he will meet you right wherever you are at, no matter what you've done, no matter where you are in your life, lay down your cross and follow him, and I guarantee you, it's not a path that's a straight path. It may not be all smooth sailing, but I guarantee you, when you are with Jesus, we are in the best hands that we could ever be in. When he's walking alongside us, we never have to worry. Because if we are continuing to seek him first, like Matthew 6:33 said, then we know that he is going to guide us down the right path. A few more verses, and then I'll wrap up for today. Matthew 22, 37 to 40. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." And it's talking about we are to love the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, and with all of our minds, seeking God first, loving him with more love than we could ever imagine, putting him first in our lives. That is what that verse is encouraging us to do. And then finally, Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I know it's hard when we're going through trials and tough times in our lives to stop and say, "Lord, thank you." Because again, I know I'm going to come out stronger on the other end, that it's a blessing to actually go through trials in our lives. I know that's a hard concept to understand, but as Christians, it is one that we have got to understand. So that is the end of today's episode. I hope all parts of this episode have kind of got you to thinking. I pray that you turn to God and ask him to help you recognize the idols in your life. I pray that you turn to him and ask him to make you a man or a woman of integrity. And then I just pray that you would get on that path to making God first in your life and seeking him in all that you do. Let me pray for us, and I'll close us out for today. Lord, thank you for today, and thank you for putting this somewhat tough topic on my heart. Idolatry is something that is very prevalent in many of our lives. And Lord, I just pray that there would be many that would seek you and ask you to help them recognize the idols in their lives, and that they would get rid of those idols and make you number one in their lives. And Lord, I just pray that there are many men and women out there, and especially men and women of integrity. I just pray that they would step up and that they would come to the plate, or men and women who have been seeking for the answers. Maybe they're new Christians and they're just beginning their journey. I just pray that they would turn to you and ask you to help make them men and women of integrity. Because when we have integrity in our lives, I think that can be one of the greatest witnessing tools that we have, because it helps people take notice. It helps people say, you know what? They did right. Even though it cost them this, they stood up for what was right, because that goes along with Christianity. When we stand on the truth of your word, no matter what happens, great things happen. And Lord, finally, I pray that there would be many that would seek first your kingdom, just like Matthew says, and that all the righteousness will be given to them. And Lord, I try and do that on a daily basis as well. I try to seek you first in all that I do. I don't do it enough, and I'm sure there are many listening who would say, I don't do it enough. So help me to do that more. Help me to stop and think and turn to you for all those decisions that I have to make in my life. Lord, I pray for those who don't know you, that they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And I just pray that there would be many out there that would also open your word and read it and let it speak to them in their lives. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for sending Jesus to be the payment for our sins. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. Once again, thank you so much for tuning into all the parts of this episode. And I hope it didn't sound like I was rambling on. I hope I didn't go too fast on the verses. I just try and kind of make it sort of, I guess what you could say, sort of a raw interview. I just want to talk to you as if we're sitting down and having a conversation, and share with you the verses that God has put on my heart, the verses that I have found that go along with what I'm talking about, because there's 66 books in the Bible. There's a lot to read. There's a lot in there. And I think sometimes we need to be reminded of what God's word says. And so in the meantime, just continue to share this podcast with your friends, especially those who don't know Jesus. And again, I hope this podcast has spoke to you in your life. As I've said before, and as I said, I'll never get tired of saying it, I prayed and asked God, if you'll give me a platform, then I will share the good news of the gospel with as many as I can. And this podcast is getting around to different parts of the world, and that is nothing to do with me. That is all to do with God, and to him be the glory for it all. Remember, you can find the podcast on various platforms and email the podcast, truthfromtheheartpodcast@gmail.com. Remember, Jesus is King, Maranatha, and God bless. Until next time.